बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं उदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। टेक पेज नंबर 126 इन योर सुबोधिनी गाइड। सो we began with the 19th chapter of King Prithu's 100 horse sacrifices. If you see the prominent headings there, Prithu Maharaj performed 99 yajnas and he was about to begin the 100th yajna. And the Supreme Lord, who is called as Yajnapati, Bhagavan Hari, Bhagavan Ishwaraha, Sarvatma, Sarvaloka Guru, Prabhu, so that master of all sacrifices, he descended there to be present in the sacrifice. And then many other great personalities were also present, like Siddhas, Vidyadharas, all of them. And in that sacrifice, all the nature offered all the various gifts for the pleasure of the Lord. So we discussed about how the earth, river, trees, cows, oceans, they are all supplying everything. So in this way, everything appeared very wonderful. Yajna was going on and the praja was happy. Lord Vishnu was happy. And the material world is such a world that even when everything is going nicely, there can be suddenly some upheaval. So Prabhupada writes that the upheavals in the material world are not uncommon. Actually, one should not be shocked by them, but one should be anticipating them or be prepared for them, like the Prabhupada says. But the beauty of upheavals coming in our life and material world is it gives a chance for the devotees like a gold put in fire. When you put gold in fire, it becomes purified. All the black portion of the gold comes out. Similarly, every upheaval in the world is a good chance for us to exhibit noble qualities and become more exalted than before. Every test, Haridas Thakur was tested by a prostitute. Similarly, you will find when great devotees are tested, the test brings out the best quality in them. And then it makes them, like Prabhupada had a test of 2 heart attacks and then he preached. So that has made him even more greater than if he didn't have a heart attack, isn't it? So in this way, Prithu Maharaj, in this chapter, Indra suddenly comes to steal the sacrificial horse and create heretics. So that is an unexpected problem. In this world, unprecedented, unexpected things happen like that. So Indra is envious, Prithu is angry, sends his son, and Atrimuni is telling Prithu's son to kill Indra, even though he is changing his veshbhusha, everything. But son is hesitant. In this way, this whole episode of Indra stealing horse and Prithu's son trying to kill him, is unable to. Then father takes the bow and arrow, who is the yajaman. Brahmanas tell him not to. Then the Brahmanas take up the task in hand that we will finish Indra. At the time, Brahma descends. But before Brahma descends, another vital point in this chapter is in page number 128 below, which is result of Indra's false sannyasi attires. That is a very prominent aspect of this chapter. That all the Apasampradayas come by setting wrong trends. So Sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. Even we people, unknowingly we may sometimes be floating certain trends, like fanaticism brings forth innumerable incarnations of false trends. Fanaticism. When people become fanatical, they make very rigid certain ideas and opinions which are not coming in parampara. One can be very fanatical. Similarly, one extreme is rigid fanaticism. Another extreme is liberalism and looseness. People, when they become extremely liberal, they concoct new emotional religions which have no substance at all. The modern days, like one organization is going to colleges and taking some 2,000 rupees per student to teach them, you know, personality development. But they are teaching a boy how a boy should give a rose to a girl, how to love each other. Actually, you don't have to tell boys how to love a girl. You have to teach them how to love Krishna first, isn't it? If they love Krishna, they can love all living beings. But they are taking money and promoting what boys girls want to do. So these are examples of loose and liberal religions. Not religion at all. It's in the name of religion many things are going on like that. So we learned that we should not set wrong trends. Then Brahma pacifying Maharaj Prithu is another important section of this chapter. How Brahma has a larger perspective, broader perspective. Prithu is focused on his own 100th yajna, not understanding what consequences it will bring about in the whole world. So therefore it is said, think globally, act locally. Repeat it.
Think globally, act locally.
Like for example, if you are in a temple also, you should think of the overall welfare of the temple, and you can act locally in your own department. Sometimes your departmental outcome may cause damage to the overall welfare of the temple. You understand, no? In case you come up with something in your department, some plan, which may actually affect the overall good reputation of your, of the whole temple. Therefore, we should always think globally, act globally. As far as temple is concerned, globally means thinking of the temple and acting in your own department. In ISKCON, if we take ISKCON India, if we take think globally means thinking of, all over India ISKCON, and then acting nicely in Pune ISKCON, like that. Or in your own respective temples. Similarly, when you take the whole globe, think globally means international ISKCON scenario. And then act locally means acting locally in Indian scenario. Correct, no? In this way, the global local can have different meanings. But think globally means actually considering our whole community as one family and contributing in a way that will benefit the community and not bring about some problem for the community. Correct, no? So in this way, Brahmaji comes up with this think globally, act locally phenomenon. He tells him that, hey, think of the global welfare of all living entities. If you kill Indra, what will happen to them? Very nicely he preaches to him. And Prithu is a very intelligent devotee. Immediately he agrees, he understands, and he agrees it. So therefore in this chapter, three solid parts are there. What are the three solid parts? One is the first part, performance of yajna by Prithu, and how the natural phenomenon like earth, rivers, trees, cows, oceans, mountains, planets, they're all very enthusiastically offering everything for Lord's pleasure. So, and Lord Vishnu's exalted position. So, there we spend some time. And another thing is, second part is the Indra stealing away the horse and creating heretics. Heretic philosophy means deviant philosophies. So, not setting wrong trends. That is the second part. A third part is Brahma giving instruction to Prithu, think globally, act locally instruction. So that is the 19th chapter. Coming to 20th chapter, Lord Vishnu appearing in sacrificial arena of Prithu, which we did yesterday. If you see, the Lord Vishnu's instructions may evaporate from our head because there are too many. And we may not know what exactly Vishnu said. One thing that we clearly remember is, you are not the body, you are the soul, which you already know before. Then what Lord Vishnu said. Therefore, here when you read how jnana leads to bhakti and all these things are given. But in my book, I made my own notes based on Prabhupada purports. So I can read out some things. I got solid instructions for my personal life. And I haven't written anything on my own. I have just taken from Prabhupada purports only here. I have given some headings which I will tell you. For the third verse, I have given, intelligent person does not identify with the body. Come on, forgives. This is 20th chapter, third verse, Sudhiya Sadhavo Loke. That was, intelligent person does not identify with the body. An intelligent person is one who forgives. These are the points. And then fourth verse, great soul, don't become bewildered. That's the heading. Sometimes I directly give a heading like this. Great soul, don't become bewildered. Then later, only for some other verses I have given headings. 11th verse, I have given correct vision. 11th verse, correct vision. And 12th verse onwards, it becomes very important. The 12th verse, three things Lord is telling. A Lord's devotee should be three things a Lord's devotee should do. A Lord's devotee should be in complete knowledge of soul's difference from gross and subtle body. That is the first one. Complete knowledge of difference of the soul from gross and subtle body. Prabhupada gave the example of a businessman going in a car. Remember? So we should be completely aware that I am different from the car. That is very easy for us. Okay, I am sitting inside the car. What is so great about it? But we cannot realize that I am the soul sitting in this bodily car. That we have to realize. And second point in the same is, a Lord's devotee should be connected with the Lord in intense friendship and affection. This is one point. Connected with the Lord in intense friendship and affection. And thirdly, the Lord's devotee should be never agitated by material sukh-dukh. Never agitated by material sukh-dukh. Who can repeat the three points? Very important. So, like, where is in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, don't be affected by material sukh-dukh. 2.14. Similarly, where is in Bhagavad Gita friendship and affection, intense friendship and affection with the Lord in Bhagavad Gita? Bhaktosime sakacheti, correct, no? Yeah. And where is in Bhagavad Gita complete knowledge of souls different from gross and subtle body? Vimudanana Vashanti, that was what? Utkramantam sthitambhapi, bunjanamba gunanvitam, vimudana anupashyanti, pashyanti jnana chakshusha. So jnana chakshush means you can clearly see difference between soul and body. You can clearly see. So there's three things Lord Vishnu is telling him in that 12th verse. So you can repeat all the three quickly, anybody? Without seeing your book, who can repeat? Yes, Amal Kishanpo. You don't have the mic with you? Give the mic, quick. Why I am trying to do this? Because otherwise it will evaporate. We will forget otherwise. Lord Vishnu's instruction to Prithu. Yes?
Complete difference should be known to the devotee.
Difference between what and what?
Subtle and gross body.
Subtle and gross body.
I am different from the subtle and gross body.
I am different from gross and subtle body. Gross body is like a shirt, subtle body is like a banyan. I am inside.
Should be connected with Krishna with an intense friendship and affection.
Yes.
And third is, he should not get bewildered by sukha and dukkha.
Sukha dukkha, material sukha dukkha of this world. And then the 13th verse, I have written a summary on my own. A king should not become intolerant towards those who bring temporary sukha dukkha. A king should not become intolerant towards those who bring him temporary sukha dukkha. Rather, what he should do? He should do three things he should do. Control his mind and senses, be equipoised, and be equipoised, and be equipoised means, you know that Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukkha, Man, Apaman, he should be equipoised in that. That is one thing. And then thirdly, treat people equally. People who are greater, equal, lower, treat all people equally. And fourthly, do duty. Do his duty. So these are four instructions, what a king should do. Control his mind and senses. And then when he controls his mind and senses, what happens? He can be equipoised always. What is that verse? Jitātmana prashantātmā paramātmā samāhita shita uṣṇa sukha dukkeshu tatā māna apamāne. Shita uṣṇa is on body, sukha dukkha is in mind, and māna apamāne is on ego level. So at bodily level, mental level, ego level, we should be equipoised. That means shita uṣṇa sukha dukkha māna apamāne. We should be equipoised. Actually, we can be equipoised when we control our mind and senses. So when you control our mind and senses, therefore, because all our senses are connected to mind, so control the mind, then senses are controlled, then we can be equipoised. Then when we're equipoised, then only we can treat all the people equally. Pandita, Samadarshana, we can treat equally. All types of people. Now, why is he saying people greater than you are equal to you, lower than you? Actually, we can treat people greater than us respectfully. But people like Indra, who is doing mischief, to treat him equally respectfully is difficult. Correct? Because he is mischievous. And he is also lower than me. So I will want to punch him. Therefore, he is saying treat all jivas equally. Correct? Treat all jivas equally. They are all pure. You remember one more point we learned yesterday. A Vaishnava does not retaliate against the body or the soul of any living entity. And he told you the reason why. The body of anybody is already dead. Gross and subtle body is already. It's like sometimes you become angry with this. When you are walking, you hit against a table, you become angry. Like, will you beat the table? There is no point beating. If you beat the table, your hand will also pain. Already you hit your leg. Now you hit with your hand and hand will also pain. Why will you not hit the table? It is dead. If some other living person slaps you, you may slap back. But if table hits you, you will not hit the table. Why? Because table is dead. Similarly, don't take action against the gross and subtle bodies of other living beings, because gross and subtle bodies are dead. Therefore, don't take action. And don't take action against the soul of other people also. Why? Soul is pure. So, don't take action against soul or body. That instruction we studied. Correct, no? Like sometimes you bite your own tongue. Anybody has experience? Then what do you do? Do you take a hammer and break your tooth? Hey, you bit my tongue? Like that? Correct, no? You don't do that. So, in the same manner, he says, don't unnecessarily take action on other living entities. Actually, now why did I say this tooth example? If other living entities are victimized by us, then Supreme Lord becomes unhappy, of whom they are part and parcel. Like you tell a person, I love you very much, but bring your finger, I'll cut it now with the scissor. Then he will say, hey, why do you cut my finger? He says, I hate your part and parcel, but I love you very much. You can't do that. Therefore, we can't victimize any living entity. So he's saying that, control your mind and senses, be equipoised always, treat people equally who are greater, equal, lower, and do your duty. Either he's saying, as a king, do your duty. This is 13th verse. And 14th verse, if a king cannot induce his people to become Krishna conscious and give up sinful life, he is not worthy to rule, he's saying. 14th verse. You know that 1/6 of the taxes. Correct, no? If a king cannot make his praja Krishna conscious, then unnecessarily he should not collect taxes from them and enjoy. He is not worthy to rule, he's saying. So like that I made... this is 16th verse. I have written another heading for 16th verse. One who does not possess elevated qualities and behavior cannot achieve Lord's favor by any amount of japa, tapa, yajna and all. One who does not possess elevated qualities and what behavior? And behavior, good behavior, elevated behavior. Excellent behavior. Please repeat these two words. Elevated qualities and excellent behavior. These two the Lord is looking for. Then Lord will become captivated by the devotee. Elevated qualities and excellent behavior. So one quiz question for you. When does the excellent qualities come out of an individual? That is all said in this purport, it is there. When do excellent qualities come out of our system? Yes? When one becomes transcendental to material qualities and material modes, then excellent qualities come. Otherwise, Rajoguna, Tamoguna is afflicting us, then bad qualities come out. If Sattva Guna is afflicting us, good material qualities come. And when it transcends Sattva Guna also, then transcendental qualities come, excellent qualities. Correct, no? In Rajoguna, Tamoguna, bad qualities. Sattva Guna, good material qualities. And Shuddha Sattva, transcendental qualities come. All 26 qualities of Vaishnava will come. So in this way, that is 16th verse. 17th verse also, there are three instructions. 17th verse. Accept Lord's instructions with great care, attention and great respect. Correct, no? Opposite of these three is what? Accepting the Lord's instruction with great care. Carelessly. So who is a person who is carelessly accepting instruction? Like I used to tell Sujit Prabhu, hey, get your notebook and pen. He would tell me, no, Prabhuji, I'll remember, Prabhu. He'll say, no, you cannot remember, you'll forget. So I will tell him four things, so he'll remember and he'll come back and ask, Prabhuji, Lord, the last one you say. Then I'll tell him, now you get your notebook and pen now. Then he will get, then he will say, Prabhuji, tell the all four again. So I'll not die. So therefore it is said, you know, a faint pencil is by far superior to a bright memory. You know this? A faint pencil is superior to a bright memory. Therefore, it's always good to note with great care. And then, what is the opposite of attention? Distraction. One should not hear the Lord's instructions with distraction. Distraction means alternative attention, somewhere else. And with great respect. What is the opposite of that? Disrespect. How can we hear instruction disrespectfully? Not valuing the person. Not considering the person very important. Ye kya batayega, isko kya malum? Whatever he knows, I also know. Wo bar bar wahi bolega. Kuch jyada kuch malum nahi isko. Like that you hear a person. Can you benefit from that? No. So we have to hear with great respect. Actually, Gauram Prabhu was making one statement when we were talking. Sometimes a person, disciple, may think, I will learn whatever I need to learn from this spiritual master. Whatever he knows, I will know. And that's all. After that, I also become a big boss. I can learn from somebody and then I can extract. Basically, the passionate people have a tendency, take one Vaishnava and squeeze him, whatever he knows. Throw it and take another one. Take out. Now I have got this, everything. And I will conquer the world. So Gauram Prabhu said, this is not the way Vaishnava philosophy works. Vaishnava philosophy, how it works, when you take shelter of Vaishnava and when you hear, you are surprised that the wisdom and the realization of Vaishnavas is oceanic. There is no end to it. Whole life you can go on hearing and they can go on speaking and you can keep on. It's like, because why are they having oceanic wisdom and realization? Because they are connected to the ocean of knowledge, which is Krishna. When they get the connection, they will keep on getting new realization. And you may wonder, when is it going to end now? When will I squeeze out this fellow fully? So, he was telling in Vaishnava philosophy, therefore, Chakshudhan Dilojai, not that I will surrender to you till I squeeze you out. And then throw you like a sugar cane molasses. You know, sugar cane you put in the machine, no? You put it inside and then once the juice comes out, you throw it after that. Vaishnava relationship is not like that when we learn from somebody. And therefore, how we should learn, that also I can tell you. In abroad, there is one garden where they have lot of fruits, oranges, pineapples, apples, chikus, various fruits, mangoes, everything. So in that garden, they will allow people, but nobody will be allowed to carry anything outside. They can eat only there. And when you go out, you have to go wash your hands and push off. But while you are there, you can eat as much as you want. Like that they allow. In the same manner, the Vaishnava is like an orchard. You can take as much as you want and go. But that doesn't mean what he gives you is what he knows. He may have much more, very vast reservoir of wisdom. He will give something to us what we can take in. Even a spiritual master gives disciple. He knows the level of the disciple and he gives. And then over and above that, he has much more realizations and wisdom. So this should be our consciousness in receiving knowledge. Huh? And that is right consciousness. Actually, if you approach a Vaishnava in this consciousness, we will have respect. Otherwise, we will have disrespect. We will think that, you know, generally, when people become educated, that leads to false pride. Because in colleges, when students, I heard in BITS, they have a policy, there is zero attendance requirement for the students in BITS Pilani and all the BITS colleges. Due to which what happens, the classes are scantily populated. In one class, you know, four or five boys will be sitting. Just to encourage the teacher, they'll be sitting. Otherwise, most boys don't go to college at all in BITS. They study notes. Ekalavya notes available nowadays, outside. You know, you buy Ekalavya notes, study and crack the exam, you know, and you don't need the teacher. You understand, no? So, now the teachers have a tough time to keep the boys inspired. Otherwise, they won't come, isn't it? It's not very easy. So, because the reason why they have done it, when the boys come to classes, they don't have respect for the teacher. When they have no respect, what are they doing in the class? They're making rockets and throwing. Or they're drawing some caricatures. They're putting their head below the bench and making noise. Like that, some noise. Teacher is wondering, where is noise coming from? Isn't it? So finally, they made this policy now. If students are creating too much trouble, you know, tell them if you want to come, you come. Otherwise, don't come. So nobody comes. See, therefore, the knowledge should be heard with great care, attention and respect. Yeah. And then the 18th verse, if you are a Vaishnava, then adjust the cause of envy instead of perpetually fighting. That's the heading I gave. If you say, I am a devotee, okay, then you should have this qualification. Adjust the cause of envy, he says. If you don't adjust, what is the alternative to that? Perpetually fight. So we can give a heading. Adjust or perpetually fight. That's the heading. Correct, no? So who likes perpetual fight in this world? We get tired also after some time. Everyone gets tired. And then lot of bad attitudes develop towards others by perpetually fighting. So if somebody shouts or fights, it's better to tell them, Prabhu, tell me what you need, what you demand. I will try my best to offer it to you, but you know, let us stop the fight and let us adjust. And then 20th verse, Lord loves a devotee who tolerates and forgives and behaves compassionately towards others. Three qualities. Lord loves which devotee? One who tolerates, forgives and behaves compassionately. Yeah. Powerful. Three qualities. So when you tolerate others, this is 20th verse. Yeah. When you tolerate others, then we can forgive them. And then the compassion is a very core quality of a Vaishnava. So when compassion is in the heart, then we can tolerate and forgive. Yeah. 21 is also similar one before. And then Lord shows affectionate gesture in 22 verse. And then this was one section, Lord Vishnu giving instructions. See, so many good instructions Lord Vishnu is giving, right? Very, very amazing. I felt this section is very valuable for us, especially ISKCON devotees, because our society is becoming larger, very, very big. And we have to deal with a lot of devotees, all types of devotees. In ISKCON, we have the widest variety. We have devotees who have done doctorate, and we have devotees who are Anguta Chap. Both types of devotees we have. We have Western devotees, we have Eastern devotees also. Now we have started a new program called ISKCON Tribal Care Initiative. Now tribal children also have come into ISKCON now. They are also wearing tilak. We have Brahmanas, people from Brahmana families, people from Kshatriya family, Vaishya family, Shudra family, and people who are eating cow flesh also. They have become devotees also. And people speaking all languages, so many languages. So I was thinking, nowhere in the world any organization can have such a variety like what we have. The greatest, widest. So more and more variety means what? There is also possibility of conflict. In one temple, there can be quarrel between English devotees and Hindi devotees. Hindi devotees will say, ye log padhai karke aaye hain, pura take over kar denge humko. Humko gulam banayenge, malum hai? Like that Hindi people speak. So what should Hindi devotees do? English devotees, you go and clean the toilet. Along with one Hindi devotee, put hands and hands on shoulder and both of you clean the toilet. Then you will say, ye log achcha hai. Padhe likhe hai, phir bhi namra hai. Therefore, educated devotees should do menial services. And then Hindi devotees should be put on the Vyasasana to speak lecture also. Correct, no? So in ISKCON, unless we cultivate these noble qualities, it's impossible to run ISKCON. It's not possible. You always see. Similarly, Western devotees, Eastern devotees, they have totally culture difference. Like one Western devotee was telling one devotee, you know, put more, and he was taking like this a lot. And this fellow was saying, hey, my Lord, aritna daba daba kar kata. He said, another devotee said, so this fellow thought he doesn't know Hindi, that devotee knows Hindi also. Now American devotees also know Hindi now. You know? Yeah. You know? So then he said, are पचने का काम मैं करूँगा तुमको करना नहीं है. सो यू नो एकलव्य प्रभु कैन गिव अ क्लास इन हिंदी यू नो दैट इज ओनली जयपतक महाराज कैन गिव अ क्लास इन बंगाली दे हैव लर्नड अ लॉट सो वी आर इन अ सोसाइटी वेयर बिग वैरायटी वी हैव टू देयरफॉर सी ऑल जीवस इक्वली वी हैव टू सी इफ यू सी ओनली द स्पिरिट सोल देन यू वॉन्ट सी दिस डिफरेंसेस व्हाइट मैन ब्लैक मैन यू नो ऑल काइंड ऑफ थिंग्स. So the instructions of Lord Vishnu are very helpful for us. Where is that chapter? This is chapter 20, 1 to 16, Lord Vishnu instructs Prithu. Then after that, instruction is over, then Prithu, and then next word, Lord shows affectionate dealing to Prithu by, you know, putting his hand around the neck of Garuda and touching the ground and whirling a lotus and smiling at Prithu and not leaving only. Yes, his talk is over, but he doesn't want to leave due to affection for Prithu. All that. And then the prayers of Prithu is another section, very important section. Anybody can say, what is the highlight for you in the prayers of Prithu? Anybody? Yeah. Take the mic and tell me.
Prithu doesn't want anything that is desired by karmis, jnanis, yogis or anything. But he just want to hear from the mouth of the pure devotees because it carries the aroma of dust from the lotus feet of Vishnu.
Correct. He says that all the people in this world are hankering for material enjoyment. Ye narakanam apisanti dehinam. That's meant for the stool-eating, you know, pigs and dogs, material enjoyment. We say, you know, punah punah charvita charum. So he says, I don't want that. But then above that, people aspire for moksha. That also I don't want. Why? Because in moksha there is no Krishna Katha emanating from the mouth of the devotees, he says. So I want only, that's the highlight actually of Prithu's prayers. And he says it's that verse, the famous verse, Yashashivam Shushrava Arya Sangame, 26th verse, where he, in the association of devotees, he just wants to sit and listen. So how many number of years he wanted? Prithu? Millions of years. Millions of years, 10 million, which means almost 1 crore years. What is that verse? Tunde tandavani ratim vidanate tundavali labdaye. Tunda avali means tongue avali. Millions. And then karna kroda kadambini katayate karna arbuda. You know how much is arbuda? So he wants Arab years. That many number of years. So many millions of years he wants. Millions of tongues, millions of years. Who? Rupa Goswami. So in this way, when you have more tongues and more ears, you can glorify more and hear more about the Lord. You all know Indra became cursed with thousands of eyes, no? But those thousands of eyes became advantage for him in Kali Yuga, it is said. Why? Because he can take darshan of Gauranga with 1,000 eyes simultaneously. In case one eye is closing, another eye you can see. It is said. So in this way, they are also asking for, you know, more ears and more tongues. So in Prithu's prayers, there are two parts. The first part talks about Prithu's eagerness for hearing, about the eagerness for association of devotees. And in association, hearing Krishna Katha. That is one part. What is the second part? Service part. After hearing, one is inspired about the Lord, one wants to render service. And what service he wanted? The same service what? Who is doing? Lakshmi. So he thought that just now he has come out of a competition, just now with Indra. So he's telling, my dear Lord, again it seems there also there is competition. So I hope you will take my side. Like that. So because why is he appearing to be competing with Lakshmi? He is a Veera Bhakta, Prabhupada says. Huh? Veera Bhakta. Spiritual world. And then when the Lord asked him, okay, Prithu, I appreciate your prayers and I appreciate your eagerness for service. I will award you service also. But tell me, what do you want? When the Lord asked, what did he ask for? Who knows? Any particular thing he asked for? Any Dhruva Loka or anything like that? Huh? You answered already. Anybody else? Yeah, yes? Yes, yes? And what example he gave? A father knows best what is good for the son. So you know best what is good for me. So my dear Lord, you only decide what to give. And then what did Lord award him? pure devotion service. Lord awarded him. And Lord told him, execute my orders, don't be misled by anything. Like that. Lord appreciated the prayers of Prithu. May you have bhakti to me. That's the award Lord gave. Therefore, karma, jnana, yoga, they are not great, but bhakti is the greatest. Because Lord gave him what is best. So in this way, we completed this. And go to page number 138 now. This is actually 421. That is 21st chapter which we are approaching today. In this chapter, see, the first section, citizens are welcoming Prithu. In this first part, there is only one highlight point. What is it? Grand welcome, no pride. People are giving him grand welcome, but it is mentioned. That is the fifth verse, if you see, Gatasmayaha word is used. You can underline that if you want. The king was not proud. Despite all this, you know, the shank was blowing, kettle drums were dama 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 dama, and they were also playing, and the priests were chanting Swasti Vachan. When the, you know, this mantra pushpam and all they chant, the priests were chanting very nicely, and many reciters were offering prayers. There was a big festival mahal. Huh? People are showering flowers. There must have been dances. There must have been rangolis put up. Huh? So when the king is coming, you know, so much of praises, so much of glorification. Prithu Maharaj, Padar, dum, 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 they play all that. No? But it is said, Gatasmayaha. He accepted all these things without pride. That is the highlight point here. The king was not proud. Huh? So that is the first part. Then Vidura, when he hears this, he becomes very thrilled. He wants to hear more. He says, oh, King Prithu was such a noble king. So I want to hear more about Prithu Maharaj, if you can tell me more. Then Maitreya describes more about Prithu. If you see 11 to 20, Prithu's rule, his bodily features and speech are explained there. In 11 to 20. And then 21 onwards, Prithu's instructions are starting, which is the main body of this chapter. Prithu's instructions. And that goes till 33, it goes. Then after that, if you see 37 to 44, page number 142, if you see, 142, 37 to 44, that is also another important section. While giving instruction to the Praja, he is glorifying the Vaishnavas and Brahmanas. Why? Because he wants to firmly establish bhakti path. Because he wants to engage Vaishnavas in teaching the Praja. So he is glorifying the Vaishnavas very beautifully in that section. So in this section, these two are the important sections in this chapter. Instructions of Prithu and in that, his glorification of Vaishnava Brahmana. That is important. So now when I am going through the themes, I may go a bit fast in some other themes. And in the important theme, we will slow down. You can take your Bhagavatam verses 1 to 4. Somebody read the translation. 21 chapter, verses 1 to 4.
Hare Krishna. The great sage
generally, I recite only those shlokas where some Sanskrit words are important. Otherwise, I generally go for the translations. Yes?
The great sage Maitreya told Vidura, when the king entered his city, it was very beautifully decorated to receive him with pearls, flower garlands, beautiful cloth and golden gates. And the entire city was perfumed with highly fragrant incense.
Purport?
Real opulence is supplied by natural gifts, such as gold, silver, pearls, valuable stones, fresh flowers, trees and silken cloth. Thus, the Vedic civilization recommends opulence and decoration with these natural gifts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such opulence immediately changes the condition of the mind and the entire atmosphere becomes spiritualized. King Prithu's capital was decorated with such highly opulent decorations.
Yeah. I will speak a little bit after this. Read the 2, 3, 4 also.
Fragrant water distilled from sandalwood and aguru herb was sprinkled everywhere on the lanes, roads and small parks throughout the city. And everywhere were decorations of unbroken fruits, flowers, wetted grains, varied minerals and lamps, all presented as auspicious paraphernalia. At the street crossings, there were bunches
of... You see, even today you can see in India, whenever there is going to be some big program, people, you know, sweep the streets and they sprinkle the water so that it will be very clean. And many places they will put toranams of what leaves? Mango leaves. And in entrances they will put banana, plantain tree cut, freshly cut banana tree. In marriages also you will see, you know, they will put that. These are there even today. Some people keep kalashas outside the house. Nowadays when I go for this Bhagavatam installation to homes, I see very amazing decorations at the entrance. People make semicircles in which they put rangoli, colors. Very beautifully they put colors. And they keep kalashas with water. And they also keep, lamps at the entrance. They keep the lamps at the entrance. So right from the entrance they decorate. Inside also they decorate, many people. I think many still have that culture, they have knowledge. So in some houses there are also flags also. When Krishna comes into Dwaraka, flags and festoons are there. And in this way, some fruits are strewn on the street also, dry fruits also. They were so opulent. go ahead.
At the street crossings, there were bunches of fruits and flowers, as well as pillars of banana trees and betel nut branches. All these combined decorations everywhere looked very attractive. As the king entered the gate of the city, all the citizens received him with many auspicious articles like lamps, flowers and yogurt. The king was also received by many beautiful unmarried girls whose bodies were bedecked with various ornaments, especially with earrings which collided with one another.
How can earrings collide with one another? One earring is here, another is here. How it can collide? Huh? Yeah? Long, huh? Big one? How they can collide? Huh? No, sometimes when earrings are moving like this, they collide with one another. Not with this one, with this. Amongst themselves they collide. But that looks very beautiful when it keeps moving like this. But they were looking beautiful. So Prabhupada writes purport. Read the purport.
Offerings of natural products such as betel nuts, bananas, newly grown wheat, paddy, yogurt and vermilion.
Vermilion is turmeric? Kumkum, correct. Yeah.
Carried by scattered throughout the city are all auspicious paraphernalia according to Vedic civilization for receiving a prominent guest like a bridegroom, king or spiritual master.
See, this is not only done for the king. When spiritual master comes also, such welcome can be done. And also when a bridegroom in marriages, they make things like this, yeah. Now somebody may say, hey, bridegroom is an ordinary mortal. Why to give so much respect? Actually, respect is not for him. Actually, he is conducting a Vedic marriage, which is in alignment with Supreme Lord, Brahmanas and Shastras. Correct, no? So when we make a decoration during marriage like that, that also is a sign of our respect for Lord and Brahmanas and Vedas. All are respected by giving welcome. It's not only for the bridegroom. Bridegroom actually is aligning with those Guru Sadhu Shastra and all. Yeah, yes.
Similarly, a welcome offered by unmarried girls who are internally...
Hey, volume seems to be very less actually. Not.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Similarly, a welcome offered by unmarried girls who are internally and externally clean and are dressed in nice garments and ornaments is also auspicious. Kumari or unmarried girls untouched by the hand of any member of the opposite sex are auspicious members of the society. Even today in Hindu society, the most conservative families do not allow unmarried girls to go out freely or mix with boys. They are very carefully protected by their parents while unmarried After marriage, they are protected by their young husbands, and when elderly, they are protected by their children. When thus protected, women as a class remain an always auspicious source of energy to man.
Yeah. So the first point I have written, read the theme, first theme.
Natural opulence changes condition of mind.
So Prabhupada, one purport of Prabhupada I read, Prabhupada says when you go to lawn, when you walk in the lawn, it increases our goodness. Prabhupada says in one purport, mode of goodness is increased when one comes closer to nature, like the Prabhupada says. Similarly, these items which were described in the last 3-4 verses, the natural items are very refreshing to the eyes and to the mind also. They are very refreshing. On the other hand, the synthetic items, they stress the mind. Like you go to an office where all the doors, windows, everything is shut and only AC is put on. And everything is plastic. Nowadays they have a plastic coconut tree in MG Road. You seen plastic coconut tree? Electric coconut tree. You seen that? No? Yeah, you find it in the MG Road. Similarly, in offices they put wallpaper of the forest. You seen? Isn't it? So these things are synthetic. One time, Srila Prabhupada was sitting in some temple abroad. From the neighbor's garden, he saw there is a beautiful big lawn, it appeared. So Prabhupada said, "Oh, there is a beautiful lawn, can we go for a walk?" And the devotee said, "Prabhupada, that is not lawn. That is all made of plastic grasses. You know, they have put it like a lawn. It's like a blanket you are sitting on. Imagine in that grass kind of thing, we make it. And they spread it only for beauty's sake." And Prabhupada said, "Really? Why can't they grow grass here?" Because grass can give out oxygen, plastic grass cannot give out. Correct, no? Plastic grass is only a mere show. It's synthetic. It may look attractive, but when you walk on that, you don't get any benefit. Correct, no? So, in this way, you find everywhere, you find in offices, synthetic. Synthetic things cause stress, whereas natural things relieve stress. And also, he says, in fact, in one another place, Prabhupada says that natural opulence changes the condition of mind and spiritualizes the atmosphere. Because of mode of goodness, the gold, silver, pearls, valuable stones, fresh flowers, everything can be taken from nature and it can be... See, Prabhupada says in the first purport, entire atmosphere becomes spiritualized. Such opulence immediately changes the condition of mind, he says. So the Vedic life is so fine-tuned that everything that people would do is ultimately meant for enhancing our spiritualization of the mind. Correct, no? Like man-woman meeting restriction is kept. They have to have respectful distance. Only for advancing in spiritual life. Both can advance in spiritual life. Similarly, all natural items should be used so that mind will be calm, cool, collected. So why? Because like when somebody comes from outside to your house, as soon as they come, give them a cup of cold water. When they drink it, they have a cool head. They cool down. Because when they are walking in the outside road, you have to keep track of the traffic. You know, there may be some dog standing. So you take some tension. But when they come into your house, you give them a cup of cold water, drink it, they become very cool. But nowadays people give thumbs up or, you know, Pepsi or something like that they may give. After they drink it, they get more agitated. Isn't it? So in the Vedic life, you will always see it is meant for cooling down the mind and focusing on the Supreme. That is actually the goal. So another point is, read the second one.
Protected women, an auspicious source of energy to man.
Actually, in many purports, Prabhupada says this, that the woman act as a encouragement for the husband in home. In the Vedic times, a Kshatriya would go to the battle. And when he returns back, the appreciation given by the wife gives him a tremendous boost of energy. Next day he is ready to go out and again face another battle. Or in the modern terms, we don't have any battle. People going to office, they have to fight out the outside world, which is full of anger and greed and competition and everything. When he comes home, and the wife gives a boost of encouragement. So her talks, her cooking and feeding and keeping the members of the family happy makes the husband happy. This is for in a family setting, Prabhupada says. And then Prabhupada says elsewhere that Kumaris who are unmarried, and they are also like brahmacharis, they are considered very auspicious. So they are the ones who lead the whole procession anywhere. Around, I think, about dozen of them carrying the kalash on their head, they walk. After that, the brahmanas are walking, chanting the Vedic mantras. After that, the horses and foot soldiers, they walk. Then there are also elephants, then the chariots, then king is also coming behind. Like that, all the procession goes. So the so how much women were given respect in Vedic life, you can see from this. They are the first one to lead the whole procession. Kumaris, as Prabhupada says here. So Prabhupada says when such Kumaris are walking, because they are pure, simply seeing them gives a source of auspicious energy to all people. Just as, for example, when you see small, tender, innocent children, you know, simply seeing them smile gives some energy, correct, no? Therefore, nowadays, even in advertisements, they use children nowadays. They know very well. If they put some tender-looking, innocent child, people will, you know, fall for it. Correct, no? So, similarly, the children, the Kumaris, the Brahmanas, each of these people are supposed to supply energy to the people in society so that Dukalayam, Ashashwata, material world, you know, people in such a state can be elevated to surrender to God, ultimately. So, in this way, you must have seen in India also, when soldiers returned from Kargil war, many women put them this tika with red kumkum. You have seen that? Any of you have seen that? You have noticed that? Yeah. So those women are neatly dressed in Indian traditional saris. They look like Grihalakshmis. So they are wearing bindi and they are decorated with very beautiful jewelry, and they are the ones who put bindi. It's like welcoming them back to country, victorious warriors like that. So in this way, women can act as an auspicious source of energy to man when they are not exploited by rogues and rascals, but very nicely protected. Their purity is protected. So let's go to the fifth one. Shankadundubi Ghoshena Brahma Ghoshena Charpijam Vivesha Bhavanam Viraha Stuyamano Gatasmayaha.
When the king entered the palace, conchals and kettle drums were sounded. Priests chanted Vedic mantras.
See, you know this, our Ramapad Maharaj, in Dasharatha's times, you know, he had sons, but he didn't have daughter. So he wanted a daughter. So in this world, normally you find people think that if I get a son, it will be nice. That's what people generally expect. But he wanted a daughter. And Dasharatha Maharaj had a daughter. But he wanted sons. Because some son has to take over the rule next to him. Correct, no? So Dasharatha Maharaj gave in death his daughter to Ramapad. Maharaj gave. Her name was Shanta. So there are some people who aspire to have a daughter child instead of a son. Why? Because a girl child also beautifies the home like a Lakshmi. That is, she brings another type of auspiciousness to home. Just like a boy can be helpful in performing Pindada Kriya and delivering the father. Similarly, a girl can bring all beauty and joy to the members of a home if she is Gunavati. So therefore, Prabhupada says a protected woman is an auspicious source of energy. Okay, read the translation of this. Fifth one.
When the king entered the palace, conchals and kettle drums were sounded. Priests chanted Vedic mantras and professional reciters offered different prayers. But in spite of all this ceremony to welcome him, the king was not the least bit affected.
Gatasmayaha, without pride, he says. Read the purport.
The reception given to the king was full of opulence, yet he did not become proud. It is said, therefore, that great personalities of power and opulence never become proud. And the example is given that a tree which is full of fruits and flowers does not stand erect in pride, but instead bends downwards to show submissiveness. This is a sign of wonderful character of great personalities.
So vidya vinayena shobate, it is said, if somebody is truly learned, he will have humility. If somebody says he is learned, he has no humility, there is something wrong. Like our Romaharshana Sutta. He appeared to be learned. He was a student of Vyasa. He had studied all the Vedic literature and corollaries and all very deeply. And in fact, the Brahmanas had chosen him for speaking the Bhagavata. For 1,000 years yajna they had started. Of course, 1,000 years yajna means they will not do, all of them will not do for 1,000 years. As long as they live, they will do. And then others will come and continue. Just like our, we say 24-hour kirtan. We say, no? Not that same fellows are sitting and doing. Correct? You come and contribute your kirtan and push off. Then another theme will come. But it goes on for 24 hours. Similarly, the Naimisharanya sages started a 1,000-year yajna. They had started. So, but then Romaharshana Sutta was posted as the speaker of the Bhagavatam in that. Because I came to know, in the Vedic times, when you make the yajna kunda, no? Like this. In four sides of the yajna kunda, there will be one pandal for one Bhagavat Sapta will be going on. That kind of thing. So there will be Bhagavat. Nowadays also in yajna kunda, yajnas, people read Bhagavad Gita, I think. Sitting in four corners. Some people read Krishna book. Some devotees. Only one person is reading. Whereas they used to have kathas only. Lot of people used to attend that. So Romaharshana was so chosen. But then when Balaramji came, Romaharshana Sutta neglected him. He was careless, he was callous. Callous means insensitive. Insensitive, absolutely. He didn't, when everybody stood up and everybody bowed down to Balaram, he neglected. Therefore, Balaram just took a grass and touched his head and finished on the spot. You will see that. So, in this way he says here, therefore, our Devananda Pandit was also chastised by Nimaya Pandit for the same reason. Because he was a great Bhagavatam speaker, but he insulted our Srivas Thakur through his disciples. And they picked him up and threw him out of the pandal. Like that. So, the Bhagavatam and CC gives many examples of people who were very exalted, but very humble. And there were people who were apparently exalted, but they were not humble. There was one pastime comes to my mind. There was one Rupakaviraj, I think. Rupakaviraj in Vrindavan used to give Bhagavatams. Many people used to come and attend. So one Mataji called Krishna Priya. She used to come and sit behind. Krishna Priya, you know, who was she? Whose daughter was she? Ganganarayan Chakravarti. Is it? Gangadas Pandit. Who? Ganganarayan Chakravarti? His daughter, Krishna Priya. She used to come and sit. She had one peculiar problem. Of course, if we have that problem, it will be very nice. Her problem was, her lips would be constantly chanting the holy names, 24/7. She could not stop her mouth from chanting. But at the same time, she was eager to hear Bhagavatam also. So she sat in the Bhagavatam class, and she was hearing, but her lips are moving. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lips are moving like this. So this personality was so attentive. While looking at the audience, she saw one Mataji is chanting in my class. He shouted at her, you know, are you hearing the class? Are you chanting or something like that? So, because of offending her, he went on to become a ghost in the next life. When he died, you can imagine how, although Bhagavatam is very purifying and very powerful, if one is proud and one is misusing his position, then one can become a ghost also in the next life. So, therefore, the pride is a great venom. It's a great poison. And one should be very watchful of one's mindset. What is happening? What am I thinking? What am I speaking? How am I acting? We have to see. Because the ahankar can take over anytime without your permission also. Suddenly ahankar can take over. So generally, the scientific sequence of steps, what builds the ahankar, if you understand it, we can curb it in the beginning itself. How the ahankar builds, first we develop certain qualifications and skills and abilities. And at that time we are very humble before developing them. Like the skill can include presentation skill, you know, attracting people skill, you know, charisma, you know, or ability to sing, and all these things are collected by the person. And then once these things come, a person will see that the whole world is dancing according to his tune. So many people are at his beck and call, and when he gets a lot of followers, then his estimation of himself increases too much. One's estimation of who I am, that increases. I was a very small person, now I am a very big person. I had no following before, now I have many, many great following. That time my reputation was not anything, now my reputation is very big. I am so popular, people know my name, people know my fame, people know me, who I am. Wherever I go, I get garlands. Wherever I go, people touch my feet. So in this way, one's, reputation increases over a period of time. So, like sometimes I travel, when I travel, somebody will say, "Acha Prabhu, you are the Discover Yourself course maker, Radhesham Prabhu." Yeah. They will immediately catch the feet or roll on the ground. Sometimes your fame, in case it goes to another place, unknown place where you go, then people may boost up our ego. And like pumping the balloon. They pump the balloon. So our ego balloon can get pumped bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Because every one of us sitting here, you know, gradually you will grow and you will see that over the years, you have a lot of accolades, accomplishments, achievements, you know, in your record. So, one time one mother father had come to a Pune temple. We came to know. Then we put that brahmachari on the stage and made him give Sunday feast. So, in those days, Sunday feast, 2,000 people used to be there in Kunjibari temple. And it was a festival day also. So, a lot of devotees had come. And the son was giving, sitting at the Vyasasana. And the parents all the time were taking video of all the audience. You know, who all the audience have come? They went behind, they went to stage and stood behind him. They took video from all directions. They took video, they took photo and everything. After the whole thing was over, they came to me and said, "Swamiji, we were not aware that our son has become such a great person. Itne log aakar baithte hain uske pravachan mein. So he has such 2,000 followers. No, we have seen him as a, you know, like a naked pencho vision, a small kid in the village. You know, when he was a small kid, not wearing any dress, you know, in the village, he would be roaming, playing in the river. He was such a small kid. Now he is sitting on the asana and he has so many disciples. Of course, I didn't tell them that they are not his disciples. See, they will come anyway on a festival day. Correct, no? But if you tell them, they will get disappointed. But the point is what? People appreciate when somebody has a lot of following, correct, no? And those parents used to oppose a lot before for him. Now they said, "Now, beta, you stay like this. Lifelong, acha kaam karo Bhagwan ki." They're very happy and they went back. So therefore, our devotees also, whenever some relatives come, they tell the devotee to sing Mangalarti. Parents are very happy that my son was leading the whole temple in Mangalarti. Or sometimes you tell him to worship Radha Vrindavan Chandra. "Oh, my son is the prominent, you know, archaka who worshipped Radha Vrindavan Chandra or giving lecture or whatever." So, when fame comes, you know, many people will praise, and their praising gives us a boost. Boop, 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 and then boop, boop, boop. Balloon also become bigger and bigger. Ego balloon. So, and then when ego balloon, our estimation of oneself becomes very big. "I think I am a great person." That is the greatest danger. Others can call you great, there is no problem. But when we think I am great, then the problem. So now you may say, "Prabhuji, better that I don't let anyone call me as great. I will always hide behind, you know, below the blanket." No, you don't have to. Whole world can call you great, there is no problem. When the problem comes, when I call myself great, then the problem comes. Very simple. So we should know that the nature of the world is to pump our false ego and lift us up, and when we commit blunder, to bury us down. That's the nature of this world. People will pump, pump, pump. Like one ISKCON devotee, you know, in you know, this Amritsar and all these places, no? What do you call it? Punjab. Punjab. In Punjab, there was one Bhagavad Katha. They had taken one ISKCON devotee. They put a big turban for him, you know, on the head, and you know, they put a special garland made of jewelries and everything. They put a garland. And they were doing Pada Puja in the beginning. And this was ISKCON devotee, simple devotee. And he was wondering whether I can allow Pada Puja. He's a simple, he's not a guru or anybody. Simple ISKCON devotee. So somehow or other he gave his lotus feet. Lotus feet or whatever feet you call it. You know, whatever. So they, later on the matter came to ISKCON leaders. And they were telling that we should not accept Pada Puja, even if the people give also. Like that in big meeting. So there, in that meeting, one devotee was telling, now they will do Pada Puja, put a big garland and lift you up, up, up. There is a nature in sentimental people will lift others too much up. They will not be realistic and they will not be reasonable. Sentimental people will do both. They will lift you up also, and when you do some mistake, what they will do? They will dig a big, they will bury you underground. And they will completely, they will bring a samadhi out of it. On the other hand, mature devotees will not lift you up also too much. And if you do some mistake, they will say, "Arey hota hai sabke saath hota hai is dunya mein, kya kare? Thik hai, sudhar jao abhi." You become a better devotee. And after you reform, they will accept you also. This is a madhyama devotees. Correct, no? So therefore, when people are pumping our ego, we should not take it too seriously. See, they are pumping our ego is due to their ignorance. Agreed? Correct? They don't know who, you know. He was telling once, Gaurang Prabhu was, Shikshasham Prabhu was telling, Shikshasham Prabhu. In one place, the program was getting late. Paramahansa Radhanath Maharaj was supposed to come. And there were 3-4 cars flying very fastly going to that place. And there were a lot of people chanting and dancing and having a big, like Balaji type of garland they were having. And then Shikshasham Prabhu told Maharaj, "Maharaj, I will go ahead and tell them Maharaj is on the way," because Maharaj was very late. One and a half hours it became late. Then Shikshasham Prabhu went in a big car. All the 4 cars are like aeroplane cars, aeroplane type of cars. And they look very long and glossy and very attractive. And the first car came and he got down. All the people, you know, they came forward and caught hold of Shikshasham Prabhu's feet. They put the big garland on him, you know. And he was wondering, you know, what is this? They are giving me such a big welcome. He was shocked. Apiyana Radhanath Maharaj and Abhi? Because they didn't know who he was. New people. And he said, "Acha Maharaj hai kya? Maharaj piche aa rahe hain." Then they took out the big garland. They took it back. You know. So ignorant people will bump you. See, I have such a wonderful realization of this in many places. Therefore, I don't take people very seriously. When I go around, you know, people pump our ego like anything. Whenever they pump, I only can laugh. Isn't it? Because they tell things about us which are not true. So we have to be honest. So humility is honesty. Once Radhanath Maharaj said, humility is honesty. If you are honest about yourself, we will never get puffed up. You see? So, great souls are never proud. Okay, read further. 6th one. Pujita Pujayamasa Tatra Tatra Mahayashaha Pauran Janapadam Stamstan Pritaha Priyavara Pradaha.
Both the important citizens and the common citizens welcomed the king very heartily, and he also bestowed upon them their desired blessings.
Go ahead, purport.
Purport. A responsible king was always approachable by his citizens. Generally, the citizens, great and common, all had an aspiration to see the king and take benediction from him. The king knew this, and therefore, whenever he met the citizens, he immediately fulfilled their desires or mitigated their grievances. In such dealings, a responsible monarchy is better than a so-called democratic government in which no one is responsible to mitigate the grievances of the citizens who are unable to personally meet the supreme executive head. In a responsible monarchy, the citizens had no grievances against the government, and even if they did, they could approach the king directly for immediate satisfaction.
Yeah. See, in democratic government, what happens? Nobody knows whom can I catch. There are multiple people. You go to him, he says, you go to him, I don't know. You go to him, he says, you go to him, like that he says. Whereas the kings were number one people, And they were very easily approachable by the people. Like in the Vedic times, there used to be a big bell outside the palace. If anybody goes there and dang, he rings the bell, king will immediately tell the minister, go and get the person to me. So the praja can directly go to the king. And king will ask, what is the problem? And they can report the problem. And immediately it will be solved. Then the king will call certain minister, do this. And the problem was solved. So the ministers were very afraid that we should keep everything in law and order properly so that no complaint goes up to the level of king. So king was so easily accessible. There's a story of how once a calf was driven over by a chariot and the legs of the calf was broken or something. So the calf and the cow went and rang the bell. And the king personally came and saw. There were tears in the eyes of the cow. And the cow took the king to the calf and showed, see, your son has broken the leg of my calf. My calf is screaming, you see. So he showed. The king arranged a chariot to be driven over the leg of the prince. So in this way, kings were responsible not only for human citizens, but also even cows and such kinds of creatures also. That goes to show the high level of responsibility. This is one quality of any good leader. A good leader cannot be careless. Careless means insensitive. For example, you are such a big person, nobody can catch you on mobile. Every time they make a mobile call, it will be either switched off or they send a message, no reply, or they make 20 calls, still no response. They write a mail, no response. Actually, then such people are not approachable. They are not accessible, you see. Ideal leader should be easily approachable from the top to down. Anybody can approach. So we all can learn this lesson. At least in our lives, people should be... See, approachable doesn't only mean you just hang around with people and don't do anything. That is also not approachable. Like somebody may ha 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 he he may just hang around with people, and people have so many problems you don't solve it. The king has to pay attention to the problem, note it down, and then find out ways and means to mitigate the problem. Responsibly solve it. Another style of leadership you can see, people very attentively hear the problem, but very conveniently they forget it later on. While hearing it, they will say, I clearly understood, Prabhu, what is the problem? Then after 6 months, the fellow will come to you again. Prabhu, I told you one problem, you know. Oh, really? When was it? I forgot. So they hear it and forget it. There are people who hear and who postpone the solution also for a long time. For chota problem, they take long time to solve it. They postpone it. They don't take immediate action. When I go around, I see many places people say, Prabhuji, the biggest problem is there is no one to solve the problem. That is the biggest problem. There is no one. Or somebody is available, but that person doesn't hear. Or somebody hears but forgets. Or somebody hears and remembers but doesn't take action. Or somebody takes action but is very slow. Takes a very, very long time to do. And he doesn't take the problem too seriously. He's in his own world. He's enjoying the privileges of a king. He's enjoying the comforts and luxuries. But he doesn't solve the problems of the people. So here the king is easily approachable. And in those days, Vedic times, what to speak of people approaching king? Some people may be afraid to approach the king. But they want to tell something to king. Therefore, king sent some jasus, spies all over the country. Like Lord Ram sent a spy. Sent spies all over. He himself would go incognito and see what is going on in people's minds. And then understand the mindset of people. And therefore, it is said a king should understand the unexpressed feelings and unspoken unspoken feelings and unexpressed emotions, it is said. Unspoken feelings means they have feeling, they want to speak, but they have not yet spoken. Unexpressed emotion means they have some, they are unhappy about something which they have not told. King could detect even that, like a vayu, like air could enter the body, like that king could detect. So king should be highly approachable and responsible. That's what I've written, the theme, fourth theme, read it.
A responsible king is easily approachable by citizens.
Yeah, read the next translation, 7, 8, 9, 10.
King Prithu was greater than the greatest soul and therefore worshipable by everyone. He performed many glorious activities in ruling over the surface of the world and was always magnanimous. After achieving such great success and a reputation which spread throughout the universe, he at last obtained the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah, next.
Suta Goswami continued, O Shaunaka, leader of the great sages, after hearing Maitreya speak about the various activities of King Prithu, the original king, who was fully qualified, glorified and widely praised all over the world, Vidura, the great devotee, very submissively worshipped Maitreya Rishi and asked him the following question.
Yeah, next.
Vidura said, My dear Brahmana Maitreya, it is very enlightening to understand that King Prithu was enthroned by the great sages and Brahmanas. All the demigods presented him with innumerable gifts and he also expanded his influence upon personally receiving strength from Lord Vishnu. Thus he greatly developed the earth.
Yeah, one more.
Prithu Maharaj was so great in his activities and magnanimous in his method of ruling that all the kings and demigods on the various planets still follow in his footsteps. Who is there who will not try to hear about his glorious activities? I wish to hear more and more about Prithu Maharaj because his activities are so pious and auspicious.
Yeah, purport.
Saintly Vidura's purpose in hearing about Prithu Maharaj over and over again was to set an example for ordinary kings and executive heads who should all be inclined to hear repeatedly about Prithu Maharaj's activities in order to also be able to rule over their kingdoms or states very faithfully for the peace and prosperity of the people in general. Unfortunately, at the present moment, no one cares to hear about Prithu Maharaj or to follow in his footsteps. Therefore, no nation in the world is either happy or progressive in spiritual understanding, although that is the sole aim and objective of human life.
Very important purport, you see. So why did Vidura want to hear about Prithu? Because Prithu was such an ideal and exemplary king. He wanted all the kings around the world to learn, including all of us who are becoming some kind of servant leaders for everyone. Therefore, he wanted to hear repeatedly, he says. And then Prabhupada says, Prithu Maharaj's activities, so that they will be able to rule over the kingdoms or states very faithfully for peace and prosperity of people in general. So that's what is the theme I given. Theme?
Learning to rule faithfully, following in footsteps of Prithu Maharaj.
Yes, learning to rule faithfully. So the Prithu Maharaj, so faithful rule means what? Guided by the Brahmanas and sages. Following in the footsteps of the Shah, of the Mahajanas. Taking the Shastras very seriously. Being a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Having compassion and concern for the Praja, including animals, birds and all kinds of creatures, any type of living body. And also being chivalrous in subduing the thieves and rogues and establishing Varnashrama in the society. And then developing the world, not only developing facility for spiritual emancipation, but also developing facilities for the people to live happily in this world also. In this way, the King Prithu, you will find earthly happiness as well as eternal happiness. Both he worked for all the people. So very ideal leader to follow. So he faithfully followed. And Vena is just the opposite of this. Instead of faithfully following in the footsteps of, faithfully following the Vedic literature and everything, Vena concocted something of his own. He said, I am the God and all of you guys worship me. He just did the opposite and he destroyed himself unnecessarily. So Prithu Maharaj is a real shining example for the leaders. So when we come back, we'll continue this. We have finished five themes now. Shri Prabhupada ki.